Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Tuesday, 31 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Pietie Radenhuis. Oil, $122. We're still waiting on news about the petrol price increase, which should kick in tomorrow. Chat with Adcorp CEO and results, the business certainly getting back into shape and profits. And Keith McLachlan, the Momentum Metropolitan trading update, a lot to dig through there. I'm particularly interested in as well as any impact from floods. It was up to end of March, so it doesn't directly include the April floods, but let's see if they have anything to say. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. For morning headlines, MoneyWeb supply chain pressure now worse than during COVID-19 peak. This is from a PwC report, noting SA report also flags return to sluggish pre-COVID-19 GDP growth, and this could push unemployment above 40%. Business day, more heavy weather for Oceania after PwC jumps ship. Fishing group cites strained relations after auditor quits day before release of interim results. This is just getting more and more messy. Morning markets, US was closed for Memorial Day. Asia is mixed. Sydney down 0.2%. Tokyo up 0.1%. Commodities mixed overnight. Gold, $1,855. Brent, $122.63 a barrel. Platinum, $948. Palladium, $2,047. Rand, $1,553. Top 40 opening call, looking for about 350 points to the down. It's a little over a third of a percent. That is 10 cent trades up 1.7% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Pietie Radenhuis from Herenia Capital Advisors. Pietie, appreciate your early morning time. More news overnight from the EU, who are talking about a partial ban on Russian oil imports, around 2/3 of capacity immediately, 90% by year end. But even ahead of that, Brent had moved out of its range. It had been trading 100 to 113, now 122. You've been bullish on energy for some time. Is this going to go higher?
Morning, Simon. And I think so, yes. I think if we put the sort of Russia, Euro, Ukraine news aside, there is a different reason for oil to be going up. And it's, you know, obviously Russian oil is a factor. I absolutely have to agree with that. But we have to also remember that prior to the invasion of Ukraine, there was already a structural shortage of oil production on the market. Essentially, we are in a situation which, and largely, you know, this lies at the feet of ESG. We're in a situation where just energy production in general across the board has not quite kept pace with demand. So it was interesting because the situation was kind of building where, you know, nobody was investing in coal or oil or any new sort of exploration for dirty energy. Everybody was very sort of interested in green energy and the green energy transformation. So there was just a massive amount of underinvestment in the sector. And then obviously when COVID-19 came across, we saw a drastic decrease in demand for energy, particularly in transportation. You know, everyone was on lockdown, which drove energy prices artificially down and obviously put a lot of, you know, oil producers out of business because oil price, as you remember, went negative for a very brief moment. So a lot of the oil producers took their rigs offline and, you know, stopped pumping gas, I guess, if you will. And then as the world is starting to emerge from lockdown, we saw, you know, a very, very strong move in the oil price sort of towards almost $90, $95 a barrel, right? Then the obviously the Russia-Ukraine invasion took place, and that that fear and a little bit of supply that's now further off the market, that kind of pushed us through to what was it, 138, I think, as a high.
Yeah.
Which feels a lot like a target at this point, right?
Because that was going to be my next question. I mean, where do we go to next? I mean, 138 is the recent high in a few cents. Of course, we've got that one almost 150 from 2008. I mean, is that the zone we're heading for?
I think so. To be honest with you. And I mean, Europe, I mean, it's also a bit of a clown show, of, if I'm honest with you. I mean, you know, some of the countries are saying, well, look, you know, we'll all ban Russian oil. We won't buy from them. And then some of the bigger and smaller economies in Europe say, you know, well, fine, we'll pay rubles for, we'll break these sanctions, we'll pay rubles for oil. And then their argument is, well, if we don't buy it, somebody else is, and they're going to make more profit on the open market. But we'll ban it by the end of the year, and then what? Someone else will buy it anyway?
Yeah. The short answer is we need that oil. And as we talk, I must point, it's now just gone through 123 a barrel. Quick last question. I mean, is this just to play one of the oil majors? Locally, it would be Sasol offshore. There's a bunch of those. Or just a pure oil trade?
I think that what we can do is we can start looking at replacement sort of energy products as well, right? So I'm not just bullish on oil, but also coal, natural gas, as well as nuclear, right? So the real long game here is that ESG has essentially sort of semi-failed and led to the situation. So at some point, I think that regulators, and we've seen it sort of beginning in Europe, at some point, regulators internationally and governments paint nuclear energy as green. Right. And when that happens, I think we see a large uptick in the sort of, you know, construction and reactivation, if you will, of new and existing nuclear power stations. So this is the long play, right? It might take a couple of years, particularly if you have to start building nuclear power stations. I mean, they take a while to build, but there is only one source of power or input for nuclear power stations. We can't do you know, fusion yet. We're still reliant on fission. So, you know, uranium, I think, is going to be a good play. And there's going to be a number of different ways to access that. Obviously, you can buy directly into uranium mines around the world. You can buy a very sort of large variety of different ETFs internationally. It's not so easy to access from the local market. But for the longer term, I think, you know, as a two to five year or potentially even a 10-year sort of investment, uranium and uranium miners, I think, will do relatively well. And in the shorter term, you know, oil at some point will cool off. It might do 130 to 150 as a potential price target range. And in that case, you know, locally, you do want to own Sasol, as well as other sort of companies that have some oil exposure. Billiton is another, which could be an interesting play as well, because they also operate in the commodity space, which I think, you know, one of the major sort of things in, I think, inflation cycles like this is that we have commodity price inflation as well, which is essentially one of the primary drivers behind the broader inflation. So Billiton, I think, is relatively well placed to take advantage of that as well.
And we've talked about nuclear before as well. And of course, coal, we've touched on Thungela, which could pay a 100 Rand dividend on a 240 Rand stock, 244. And that's our question today. Our poll on LinkedIn and Twitter, where do you think oil is heading? Higher, much higher, or perhaps it's peaked for now? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Adcorp CEO Dr. John Wenzel. Results for year end February, it saw revenue from continuing operations down 1.7%, but headline earnings up 190.6 cents, dividend 47 cents a share, that after no dividend in the previous year. John, appreciate the time today. You make the point in your commentary to the results, one of the primary goals was stabilizing the company. Certainly looking at the cash flows, looking at the balance sheet, I think almost pretty much a case of done deal.
Yeah, we would think so, Simon. That was our primary focus in 2022, was to stop the volatility in earnings, to make sure that the balance sheet was de-geared and we didn't have any risks on the balance sheet, and then to capacitate the organization for growth in 2023. So, yeah, I'd agree with you. I think we've achieved those objectives.
You're operating in recruitment across various different sectors. You've also got some training and the like, but certainly in recruitment, COVID really put the brakes on that, particularly the previous financial year. Are things starting to open up, or are you seeing some normality return?
Yeah, in the two markets, we see slightly different situations. So in Australia, there we've got a supply-demand imbalance, and their demand exceeds supply. So our Australian business, now that borders have opened, we expect that the demand there will continue and we'll be better able to meet that. In South Africa, we saw at the back end of Q4, our financial Q4, early signs of both the white-collar permanent and the white-collar contingent market starting to return. So I think it's early signs, Simon, and hopefully that pulls through into this year.
I mean, South Africa is still going to be tough. I mean, we've got Eskom, we've got unemployment, we've high unemployment, low growth. It remains a tough market, but does that perhaps, because of those toughness, almost give you some opportunity, particularly more in the contract space?
I think it does. We are a little bit concerned about rising inflation mm-hmm. and the low economic growth rates, as you mentioned. We're also concerned that we may see elevated levels of labor unrest as unions seek wage settlements maybe higher than what they traditionally sought. So we do see that as being positive if we can avoid the downside of labor unrest and strikes and so forth. The contingent market on the blue collar side, sort of from the middle of last year, we saw increased demand that's pulled through. So we're hopeful that that will continue.
Your Australian operations, which are quite chunky, they're at revenue for the year, they were just over $4.7 billion. You make the point there. I mean, they've got unemployment, I think it's 3.8 or 4.8%, which yeah. actually makes it challenging for you. Even notwithstanding, you think that would be great for corporates, but it's people, I imagine, changing and the like.
Yeah, it creates a challenge at two levels. One, there's a shortage, there's a global shortage of IT skills in specific sectors, and therefore you have demand exceeding supply, and that makes it quite difficult to source the candidates. And obviously, if the candidate is not available, you can't fulfill that business. On the blue-collar contingent side, there with the opening of borders, hopefully that's positive for us. With the borders closed in Australia for such an extended period, we were not able to meet demand for blue-collar workers. Now we are able to do that. So low unemployment works both ways. You get more churn, mm-hmm. But if you can't meet demand, it means lost business. So it's a double-edged sword, Simon.
You mentioned and your training, which is relatively small in the bigger AdCorp, but you did make the point that one of the things which perhaps as a direct result of COVID, perhaps a benefit from it, is that you've to a fair degree pivoted to online.
Yes, we have. That's investment we did. Sort of the back end of the previous year and the early part of the last financial year, and we saw clients more willing to go into a pure online environment, and that has helped us. We've also changed our product mix, and we've taken the product mix more into the slightly higher margin mm-hmm. offerings and where demand was quite good. So that has really worked for us. We also get the cost benefit that if we gain online, we don't have to the same extent the sort of classroom-associated costs of in-class delivery. So that's worked out quite well for us.
Yeah, and a bigger market because, of course, not geographically constrained. A last question. I mentioned up top that the company looking much better, the debt excluding leases down to $133 million. You're now looking for some potential acquisitions, but you're making the point more strategic bolt-on rather than a big deal.
Yes, I think that summary is fair. What we have messaged to the market now that the company is stable, the balance sheet is strengthened, and we have got cash on hand. We want to reward our shareholders. We've declared that dividend, and we will be looking to invest. But we will only look to invest where those opportunities deliver us a ROIC that's superior to WACC. So mm-hmm. we will be on the lookout. And if the opportunity arises, we'd be looking to consummate a deal. But that deal has to be value accretive. Otherwise, we would rather return the excess cash to shareholders via a special dividend or potentially through further share buybacks.
Okay, that was my next question. Would there be perhaps a special dividend? If not, we'll leave it there. That's AdCorp CEO Dr. John Wenzel. John, appreciate the time today.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At StanLib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlip.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlip Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Keith McLachlan. You find him at Integral Asset Management. Keith, appreciate the early morning time. Momentum Metropolitan trading update yesterday. That was for the 9 months ending March. We'll touch on that in a sec. But I'm interested on their comment around floods in KZN. Now, of course, those floods were April. They fall outside the period. But they did have some points to make around it.
Certainly. And morning, Simon. Yeah. So Momentum unpacked the exposure, and the moment you chop out reinsurance, they only have about 50 million that they anticipate that's going to knock their fourth quarter. More importantly, this quarterly trading update for the 9 months includes the Omicron wave that came through. And as a life insurer, predominantly a life insurer, because they have a complex business, there's a lot more in the mix than just life insurance. But as predominantly a life insurer, they were more exposed to the COVID excess mortality over the last about I'm losing count of how many years.
Yeah, two and a bit. And overall, I mean, this trading update is longer than some companies' set of results. And that's because insurance is complex and because Metropolitan itself is a complex beast. But, I mean, generally, a good set of numbers. And I appreciate this base effect because although there was COVID here, obviously to March of 2021, there was a lot more of it as we went through some much worse waves. But still, I thought not a bad update.
So I quite like this statement. And if you go have a look, they specifically have a segment on the impact of COVID-19 pandemic on the group. And they say the direct impact on the group was muted. Now you need to realize what life insurers are selling and what they really want. What they want is they want a very stable environment, everyone progressively getting healthier and living longer. That pushes out when you have to pay these claims, and then want steadily rising markets. And we've literally had the opposite of that in the last two odd years, where ignoring the markets being volatile and the like, we've had a period of excess risk. So in KZN, we've had riots and flood. COVID has created excess mortalities. And everyone forgets COVID also created business interruption. So from an insurance perspective, it's been a nightmare 2 years. These are really good results, and it shows they're coming at the back end of it, particularly if you look quarter and quarter for the various claims. So they started Q1 this year with 4.6 gross mortality claims. Q2 was 2.5. Q3 was 1.8. And that's gross, so it's not showing reinsurance. If you dig a little bit deeper, they're still sitting with about 693 million in terms of COVID provisions on their balance sheet for Q4. But you could see COVID receding, and it's not the virus; it's the excess mortality of the virus that's the riskier in a business like this.
Yeah, they're not going to need all of that. And if I just, I mean, the headline earnings they say is going to be for those three quarters around 58. Stocks trading at 15.80. If they make nothing for the fourth quarter, and of course they will, it puts them on a forward PE of around 10. I mean, this is a good price.
I would focus more on the embedded value and momentum. So embedded value for the listeners' benefit, embedded value is effectively where the actuaries within Momentum go and present value all the expenses and all the costs and all the revenues and all the premiums and expected claims. Basically, they're building an actuarial DCF. That's what embedded value
okay.
is.
Yeah.
Overly simplistic view, but and they would shoot me for saying that, but that's what it is. Now, if you go and have a look at Momentum share price tracking its embedded value, its 10-year historical average is about a 17% discount to that embedded value. So the market often trades a slightly below. If you have a look at Sunlum trades almost 1-to-1. With its embedded value. This is a very key metric. But Momentum at this point then, Better Value grew over this period. It's sitting at 28.77 rand versus a share price of 15.80 and some change. It's a 44% discount to its embedded value. This stock is massively cheap, and yet it's experiencing tailwinds as COVID recedes. Hilly and Risto clean up the group and drive earnings and embedded value. Things are moving in its favor. This is, in my opinion, overly cheap.
Yeah, I was looking at that, and I'm trying to find the chart for it, but I'll find it and I'll tweet it later in the day. But certainly that embedded value discount does look somewhat extreme. Keith McLaughlin, Integral Asset Management, appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. We were chatting with Pepkor results yesterday, and it was, I suppose we could say, a solid Pepkor results. But Pep Home really was growing. Revenue up 27.2. People love Pep Home. I was looking at their Instagram account, and it's just people love it. And question, we asked us, are you shopping at it? About a third of you said, yep, you shop there. You absolutely love it. Half of you have never been. Now, I'll be honest. I went once. I was just having a look more than anything else. I wasn't there to shop. But by all accounts, that half of us who on shopping there, need to start shopping. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobuchle, Nicole Tetzo, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We're talking China.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.